It's good to be back in Chesterton. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Title of the message is Grace and Strength in Weakness. Grace and Strength in Weakness, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Thankful for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. And when I think about being here, certainly know that I was the C-minus kid at Perryman Baptist Academy. And the Lord allowed me to get through the school. Definitely a difficult upbringing for me with my mom's health. From 7th grade to 11th grade, she was very sick. Mom and dad living in Minnesota. And it was a challenge, but God's been good. And through that time of weakness and difficulty, God has shown His hand real to our family in my life. I'm thankful for that. We go back to those stories and those miracles, answered prayers many, many times. And I'm thankful for those points. And so it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with the theme of grace and strength and weakness. I know that each one of us has to come to a place of brokenness in order to be born again. If you want to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be brought down to a low point. You need to see yourself as God sees it, and that's as Job did. He abhorred himself in dust and ashes. He knew who God is and was and actively working in his life, and he knew that he needed God. And I know each one of us, I'm thankful for God's working in my life, graciously bringing me to a point of faith and repentance. February 7th, 2019, in my living room at our home in Macungie, Pennsylvania, God brought me to my knees. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm unworthy to stand here tonight. I know that. I'm unworthy. I don't deserve the opportunity to go to Independent Baptist Church of Cobway. But I know that God has directed me, directed my wife and I in our steps and our prayers. And you'll hear some of that in the video. And honestly, my heart is to step out of the way tonight as the best that I can and just say, God, you are good. All glory goes to you, because it was here, and I'm going to mess the story up, but my father moved up here, and my mom moved up here after coming from Bob Jones University, and knocked on the door and met Greta Gordon, Greta Smiley, and that story goes on to where Patrick and Greta get married. They moved to Zambia. Greta was my kindergarten teacher here at the Christian school. They had an influential moment in working in my brother-in-law's life, Leon Stahl, and how the Lord used the Gordons. And then for many years, the Lord used the Olson family. And that was my first place that I ever took a mission trip in October 2009. And the hot season, moving bricks with Brother Olson and James McDonald back there. And the Lord blessed that full month of just being able to see the ministry. And then the Riches was able to graduate from Bible college with Brother Pastor Adam Rich. And we were good friends. And then all this time, God has kept faithful and kept me in the Word of God, has been patient with me. And I'm thankful for that. Here we are today. And I'm grateful for this passage because as I was thinking through my plans that I have made, we have a family, we have three precious boys, and I've done my best to be prayed up and to be prepared. But the Lord has completely changed a lot of my plans. I'm still waiting on our visas. Still waiting on different things. Housing situations didn't go as planned. Challenges. But it's in that point and in that moment, God wants each one of us. God wanted me to take my hands off of these good plans, nothing wrong with doing all to the glory of God, and saying, God, I desperately need you. And I know when it comes through and you answer prayer, I know it was you all along. Because I'm too prideful. I'm going to take the credit that I did these things. I know myself. And we'll see this here in this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. We're not going to, for the sake of time, we're not going to read all through the verses to start, but I'm going to systematically work through each verse to help us to understand this context. But here, Paul is engaging with the foolish boastings of the Jewish legalists who had been talking themselves up and had been talking Paul down. In chapter 11, Paul then begins to boast of all the difficulties that he has endured as an apostle. In 1 Corinthians, Paul here writes to the church to correct their problems, to correct the problems that he sees. Many there in the church rejected the letter, to where then Paul goes and visits the church and then writes 2 Corinthians to reassure the church of his love and care for them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 through 7, Paul reconciles his relationship to this church. Chapter 8 and 9, he addresses the topic of the forgotten generosity. And then the last section is in chapters 10 through 13, where he challenges those in the church who have continued to reject him. And that's where we're at tonight. Those that rejected him are found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, where he says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." Paul says the chiefest apostles. He's referring to those false apostles, those false teachers in the church that were prideful, that were arrogant, that were looking on the external. They did not have good judgment. They were weak. And they said, "Paul, you are here, and you have hateful speech. You're inconsistent." They looked at his life, and they basically said, "We don't approve of your authority." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 provides this summary of all the things that he went through. You're familiar with the passage in 2 Corinthians 11, 21, 22, goes into verse 27. All of those things that he suffered. In chapter 11, Paul speaks to clear up his name, his apostleship, and his ministry, and then transitions to commending his authority of apostleship by revelation, but not by revelation, but by his infirmities. And that's where we come into chapter 12. Let's read verse 1 together. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." So he says, "I'm reluctant to describe this vision for you. Here, I've been used to seeing and hearing all of these boastful actions from these chief apostles. Their spectacular experiences, their visions, and their revelations of the Lord." Paul is reluctant to express in this opening chapter. He says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory." Paul is really tired of writing about himself. He would rather write about Jesus Christ. And here he is. He says, "I'm going to express in all humility what God has revealed to me." Verse 2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such in one caught up to the third heaven." Here it says, "I knew a man in Christ." Paul describes this experience in the third person instead of the first person. He didn't say, "I myself had this experience." This makes me wonder, or this makes some wonder, if he really even is speaking about himself here, or if he's speaking about someone else here. But in verse 7, as I was reading, you see that he transitions into first person. So I believe we know that this is Paul. Why does he speak in third person? Because Paul is describing this remarkable spiritual experience. He's describing a one-of-a-kind thing that these chief apostles could not actually understand. They were just having these imaginable experiences. Here the apostle Paul actually was with God in the third heaven. He says in verse 3, "And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard an unspeakable word, which is not lawful for a man to utter." Paul really doesn't know whether or not if he was in the body or out of the body during this vision. Either way was possible. But Paul was there. He was caught up into the third heaven. Paul himself had a vision from God, just like Isaiah, just like John. Verse 4, we read there how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. This heavenly vision that Paul was there, he could experience, was a special personal thing that I believe that Paul could go back to in all of those times of discouragement and difficulty as he was in the battle, he could go back to that vision, that experience with God, and say, God, I know you're real. I know you're powerful. I know that I can cling to who you are. You know, today we have this word. We don't have to have a special vision. We have the word of God. For we have a more sure word of prophecy. The living word of God. We can anchor our life into this. Verse 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Paul essentially says that this nameless man who had this vision really had something to actually boast about. Paul himself could really only boast truly in his infirmities, which is exactly what he did in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 30. I feel like I know myself, and I'm sure you could be in the same shoes as Paul. If you had a vision, I certainly would be writing a book or getting on YouTube and making a video and telling everybody about what I just experienced and how good God has been to me and how special I am. But he says, I'm not going to glory in that. I'm going to glory in mine infirmities. That's not comfortable. Verse 6 says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Paul is sharply contrasting himself with the chief apostles among the Corinthian Christians. They would not hesitate to boast about that kind of vision that Paul had. In fact, I know for certain they would have become prideful. And the knowledge that they had and the experience that they had, that would have puffed them up, which would result into acting extremely foolish. They would have walked around in their churches and said, God met with me. Or God was able to use me in this ministry or this way. And it's very easy and very tempting to be prideful and to be boastful about what God has done. Especially when the heart, the relationship with God is truly not there. Verse 6 speaks volumes to me where he says, I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. The only way that the Apostle Paul could write that is for him to be spiritually minded. And to be spiritually minded requires you to have a genuine relationship with God Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be in church and have all of the outward appearances and the religious things all dialed in and checked off. But we're going to fail when we're just doing the outward, when we're just walking to appeal and to appease people around us to make us feel good. And Paul says, I know that I want to think of those things. I forbear. I put those things aside because I know that I need to glorify, I need to honor God in the work that he's doing in me. A spiritually minded person doesn't necessarily pray that God would do a work through me. They first start and say, Lord, I need you to do a work in me. Not just through me. The first thing is, Lord, I need bus route for me and my family. That's why I need to be out on the nursing home. That's why I need to be involved in visitation. It's for me. It's not, I know, God, you're going to work through me, because if your spirit's in me, I believe your promises. You're going to be glorified. But we forget, because we're looking about what God can do through me, and completely forget, God, it's what you're doing in my heart today. And the chief apostles, they were looking for what God was doing through them and the experiences and how he was using them. And God does use us. It's humbling when he uses us. He communicates here to the Corinthian church, Paul does, and he talks to them about their experiences. The challenge that I have from the Word of God to myself tonight is, am I quick to tell my friends, my family, my church family, all the things that I'm doing for God? Oh, I sold our business and sacrificed it, and we're going to Zambia. Praise the Lord. It's really tempting to do that, and I've done that. I've been prideful. Or I'm prepared. I graduated from Bible college. I'm equipped to do the work of the Lord. And I've been on the bus route faithfully. And I've done this and that. And those experiences is something that we cling to and we anchor our whole entire relationship with God on the things that we're doing, not in the one who we actually have deep, sincere fellowship with on our knees in the Word of God. And if you are a born-again believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, I know with all certainty, because the Word of God tells us, that you will be brought to a weak point in your life. It's going to happen. I promise you. If you are here and you profess Christ, and you don't really have a genuine relationship with Him, and you haven't experienced any low points, I would challenge you, whether or not A, you are saved, or B, whether or not you're actually stepping out and living in faith according to the Scriptures. But Paul here says, I look at these things in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That thorn in the flesh, that difficulty, that pain point, that place of completely letting go and saying, God, I need your help. Pray for me. I'm going to Independent Baptist Church of Cobway, and I'm trembling in my shoes. It's coming from Jeff. Grew up here. A point of weakness. God, I need you. I can't do this. Moving my family to Zambia, beautiful place, beautiful country, wonderful people. It's different though. It's not Pennsylvania, it's not Indiana. Lord, I need you. But more importantly, Lord, I'm going into a spiritual battle. We're going into warfare. The same warfare and the same spiritual battle that I face on a day-to-day basis in my own life. I know, Lord, I need you, and I need to have this heavenly vision which has been revealed to us by the written word of God. Lord, I need to get here, and I need to experience you, because I know that there's this thorn in my flesh, there's difficulty, and that difficulty is me. It's not the shipwrecks. It's not being out in the cold like Paul was. It's not the suffering. It really isn't. The fasting that he experienced in chapter 11, the difficulties. Paul knew all of those things are just temporal. He knew that thorn in the flesh, that difficulty was his own self. That Jeff Goss gets in the way for everything. It's me. It's my pride. And Lord, I need to empty myself so that you can break me to a weak point. So that you can use me. You can work in me. So that I might glorify your name. And when someone gets born again, and when a young man at Independent Baptist Church of Cobway gets trained up to be a national pastor, I can point and say, God, that's the foundation that was laid from the Gordons. That was the foundation that was laid from the Olsons. That was the foundation that was laid from the Riches. Lord, that was the foundation that was laid on Jesus Christ. That was the foundation of faithful prayer warriors and people that sacrificed in this church and supporting churches. It wasn't built on me. This is you, Lord. This is your work. This is your church. And I get to be involved in God's business. Doesn't that get you excited when you go out on the outreach? You're involved in the Lord's work. I carefully say this. This is not Pastor Mitchell's church. He's the under-shepherd. This is Jesus Christ, church. He is the head of this New Testament church. He is the head of the church I attend, Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. And he is the head of Independent Baptist Church. And the Lord will continue to work on me and break me to be weak. He will put thorns in my flesh. I have thorns right now. I know things that are burdening me and difficulties and fears that I have. And the reason that they're there is not because I'm some special Christian that I'm looking for the latest thorn. But I know myself, I need them because God is going to do a work in me and through me for His glory. And if God does anything there, I can humbly say, Lord, I'm going to brag on you. I'm going to thank you for what you have done. It gets really old bragging on yourself in the ministry, especially if you're continuing to do ministry. It's like, wow, it's hard already. And then you keep telling everybody about how many you had on the bus and how many you do this. I mean, it feels good a couple of times, but then it just gets old. You're like, wow. All right, well, if you're really in it, just let's go. Let's get in it. I mean, missionaries could write prayer letters and do all of these things. I'm sure that's weary. Let's just start off right and let's get into the Word, obey the Word, understand that God's grace, it is sufficient for thee. When I was saved, when I was born again, the Spirit of God showed me, He put a spotlight on my heart and says, Jeff, you are trusting in your works. You're trusting in the things that you experience. You're trusting in the things that you claim to know. But you have never come to a point. You've acknowledged that you are a sinner. But you have never come to a point in the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, and realized who you are before a holy, eternal, pure, loving, powerful Father. And by God's grace, He showed me that through the Word of God, drawing me to Christ. And the word here in verse 9, it says, my grace is sufficient. For those that are born again here tonight, have you experienced the grace of God? It's precious. We're here only tonight by the grace of God. It's not because we're anything extraordinary. We're here by the grace. But this word grace is an abounding grace. This grace is a sustaining grace to pick you up and says, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was my mediator, the man Christ Jesus, who was patient and long-suffering on me. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He gave me hope. I was addicted to wicked lusts and sinful actions in my heart. I was undone. I was wicked. And God saved me from that. I could not get victory on sin. I couldn't put enough knocking on doors to get rid of my sin. I searched. I tried. I gave. I went on mission trips. I tried it all. But God's grace was there for me. And He showed me through His Word, He says, Jeff, weakness is strength. Weakness is strength. That the power of Christ may rest upon, what does it say? Me? Okay, Jesus Christ, we all believe, He's powerful. The power of Christ can rest on you, Mr. Derek. Amen? Valparaiso bus route. Amen. We had preaching times on Saturday morning together. He preached to me. Get me in line. The power of Christ may rest upon me. I pray that that means something to you. If you don't understand that, you might not understand the Jesus Christ of the Bible. The power of Christ. Christ was broken. He bore our sins on His body on the tree. And that power was able to break this bondage of sin in my life and in your life. And when you are weak, You have nowhere else to turn in your life but Jesus Christ. And as you're living in faith, you have nowhere else to turn but Jesus. I was at a weak point a couple months ago. Did not want to tell anyone. Called my dad. My dad couldn't help me. He could advise me. He could encourage me, and he did. But it's where you have nowhere else to turn when you have questions. You go back to the power of Christ that is in you. You have nowhere else to turn. The same is with salvation, right? I couldn't turn. I couldn't add in church membership. I couldn't add in baptism. I couldn't add in tithing and service and sacrifice in order to be right with God. I had nowhere else to turn. When I got saved, I was on my knees. I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I need you. I can't do it. That was my salvation experience. That was how I was born again. And today, there's going to be crossroads in your ministry and in your life, in your personal life, in your relationships with family, where you're going to say, God, I can't do it. I need you. And it's in that moment, you are weak. And there is nothing wrong with weakness. It's a wonderful thing, because that is when it gets precious. That is when the Spirit of God can come through and use the work of you as a vessel to bring honor and glory to Him. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Wow. I take pleasure in those things. Picked up the phone after I went through the difficulty calling my dad. I called him and I said, Dad, I'm thankful for that point, because in that moment, by God's grace, my eyes and my heart were able to be more focused on God for my needs, for these questions, these fears that were in my mind about moving to Zambia, shipping barrels over across the sea before our house was even sold, not understanding some clarity on some other things. And it's just, I don't act that way. I usually act systematically. I'm pretty much a planned guy. But Lord, I'm thankful for that infirmity. I'm thankful for that thorn. I'm thankful for that trial of faith, because then my heart, my eyes, my focus was upon you, and then you're able to work. You're here tonight. Maybe you've been glorying like a fool. That's coming from the scriptures here in verse 11. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. You're bragging about the accomplishments. You might be bragging about the success. You could very well be bragging about your spiritual experiences and how God has been working through all of your ministries. And it's easy to do that. I've done that. But God says, how about you follow and emulate the life of the Apostle Paul, who says, I am the least. I am the least. I don't deserve this opportunity. This ministry, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this ministry that we've received, it's been given to us in mercy. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Tonight, I'm sure, with an audience this large, and just if it was just a few of us sitting in our living rooms and being honest with God and fellowshipping one to another, each one of us has a burden on our heart. There's a desire that we have. There's a goal. There's a prayer request. You might look at yourself and be doing spiritual inventory in your heart. You say, Lord, there's some things that I just need you to do in my life. If you plead and you cry out to God and ask God to teach you, to show you, to work very carefully in your heart by the word of God, God is going to break you. It's not fun being broken in the moment. I often cry spiritually. Oh, God, you're not taking care of me. Or you go complain to a friend, or you sit in the auditorium and you mope and you complain. We just go back to the flesh. But it's in that place of uncertainty, of faith, of complete dependence on Him that God is at work. Please stand to your feet as we pray and have a time of invitation.